Good morning and welcome back to our presidential weekend series on America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th anniversary edition. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
We have reached number 6. And Leah, if you thought the first 5 presidents had impressive resumes, just wait. We are profiling the man who was arguably the smartest, most experienced, and most socially awkward person to ever sit in the Oval Office. We are talking about John Quincy Adams.
John Quincy Adams, or JQA, as the history nerds call him, is such a complex figure. He is the first son of a president to become president. But his childhood wasn't like a modern first kid playing video games in the White House. When he was 10 years old, he was crossing the Atlantic Ocean during the Revolutionary War to help his dad negotiate with France. By the time he was 14, he was working as a diplomatic secretary in Russia. He spoke French, Dutch, German, and eventually Russian. He was a global diplomat before he could shave.
And that experience made him the greatest Secretary of State in history. We talked about this yesterday with Monroe. The Monroe Doctrine? JQA wrote it. The Florida Purchase? JQA negotiated it. He was a machine. But being a great diplomat does not make you a great politician. And when he ran for president in 1824, disaster struck.
The corrupt bargain. This is the election that broke the country. You had 4 candidates running: Adams, Andrew Jackson, Henry Clay, and William Crawford. No one got a majority of the electoral votes. Andrew Jackson got the most votes, both popular and electoral, but not 50%. So, according to the Constitution, the House of Representatives had to pick the winner. Henry Clay was the Speaker of the House. He hated Jackson. So he threw all his support to Adams. Adams wins the House vote, becomes president, and 3 days later, he names Henry Clay his Secretary of State.
It looked terrible. Jackson went ballistic. He called it a corrupt bargain to steal the White House from the people. And honestly, it crippled Adams' presidency before it even started. Jackson's supporters in Congress blocked everything. Adams wanted to build a national university, a naval academy, a national observatory to look at the stars. He called them lighthouses of the skies. The Jacksonians mocked him mercilessly. They basically said, "This elitist nerd wants to spend your tax dollars looking at stars while you are starving on the frontier." Nothing got passed. It was 4 years of gridlock.
He was miserable. His diary from that time is incredibly depressing. He was prone to depression anyway, but the White House broke him. He lost to Jackson in 1828 in a landslide and left town without even attending the inauguration. He thought his life was over. But Stephen, this is where the movie gets good. Because John Quincy Adams had a second act.
The congressional years. This is unprecedented. Most presidents retire, build a library, and paint. Adams went back to Massachusetts and ran for Congress. His neighbors elected him to the House of Representatives. He served there for 17 years, and he was a completely different guy. In the White House, he was cautious. In Congress, he was a lion. They called him Old Man Eloquent.
He became the biggest nightmare for the slaveholders in the South. At the time, Congress had a gag rule, which meant you were legally not allowed to read anti-slavery petitions on the floor. The South didn't even want to hear the word slavery. Adams thought that was a violation of the First Amendment. So every single day, he would find creative loopholes to bring it up. He would troll them. He once pretended he had a petition from 22 slaves just to freak out the Southern members, and then revealed it was a fake just to prove they were censoring him. He eventually got the gag rule repealed. He was fearless.
And then, the Amistad case. This is his crowning moment.
It's incredible. In 1841, a group of enslaved Africans had mutinied on the Spanish ship Amistad. They were captured and put on trial in the U.S. The Spanish government wanted them returned as property. Adams, at age 73, argued their case before the Supreme Court. He spoke for hours. He argued that under the Declaration of Independence, these men were free by nature and had the right to fight for their liberty. And he won. The Supreme Court set them free. It was the only time a former president has argued a case like that.
We also have to mention his daily routine. It's startling.
The swimming. Yes, JQA believed in cold water therapy. Every morning around 5 a.m., he would walk from the White House down to the Potomac River, strip completely naked, and go for a swim. He did this as president. There is a legend that a female reporter once sat on his clothes and refused to leave until he gave her an interview. Historians think that particular story is a myth, but the naked swimming? 100% real. He was a weird, brilliant, disciplined guy.
And he died exactly how you would expect.
On the floor of the House. In 1848, he stood up to give a speech opposing the Mexican-American War, which he hated, and he had a massive stroke. He collapsed right at his desk. He died 2 days later in the speaker's room. His final words were, "This is the last of Earth. I am content." It was a poetic end for the ultimate public servant.
From the courts of Russia to the Potomac River, there was no one like JQA.
Join us tomorrow for the man who defeated him. The general. Old Hickory. Andrew Jackson.
Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com, and remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.